Masichta by the Zohar Daf Chav Beis, we will start 8 lines from the top of the Amid. And the Gemara says, Hanumri Koye, there were these 2 saffron growers, and one of them was a goy, and one of them was a yid. The goy, he worked on Shabbat. He plowed and planted and did everything on Shabbat. The Yisrael b'chag b'shabbat, and the yid worked on Sunday. Also, they came to Rava to ask if this partnership is allowed. Shara lohu, he allowed it to them. He said, it's okay. But Rabbeinu asked the kasha to Rava. We learn in the Braise, it says, Yisrael v'oivet yichovim shekiblu sode b'shutves. A yid and a goy that received and accepted a field in partnership, that they together became arisim on a field. They together rented a field on the cheshbon that they would get a certain percentage for working in the field, and the owner would get the rest. But they together accepted upon themselves the responsibility of working on the field. So the Braita says, Lo yoyma Yisroel lo yvetichovim. So the Yid is not allowed to say to the goy, Tu chel kichov b'shabbos, you take your part on Shabbos. In other words, you work on Shabbos, and you will take your share for Shabbos. V'ani b'choil, and I will do it in the weekday. I will work in the weekday, and I will take my share for that. So you're not allowed to do that, because since they together took the responsibility, so each one is obligated to work every day. So the Yid is also obligated to work on Shabbos. And when the Goy works for him on Shabbos, and he works for the Goy on Sunday, so it comes out as if half of the day of Shabbos that you work, that the Goy does, is as a shliach for the Yid. And that you're not allowed to do. So therefore, he shouldn't say to him, you work on Shabbos, and work for my half also. And because of that, I will work your half in the weekday. Because then the goy would be working on Shabbos for the yid. Im hisnu mitchila, if lachatchila they made up a condition. When they took this partnership, they made up that the goy is going to work a full day on Shabbos, and the yid is going to work a full day in one of the weekdays, mutter et alav. Because then the yid never accepted upon himself to work on Shabbos. So it's lachatchila not his responsibility to work on Shabbos. So we do not say that the goy, when he works on Shabbos, half of his work is for the yid. Because lachatchila, they made up that the yid will not work on Shabbos. Then the Braita says another thing. If they didn't make up anything, just that they took together a partnership, and they didn't say what's going to happen about Shabbos and Sunday, and lapel, the goy worked on Shabbos, and the yid worked on a day in the weekday. And then they come to make the cheshbon, to divide the profit. And the yid will say to the goy, you worked so many days on Shabbos, so you get for that this amount. I worked so many weekdays against that, so I get this amount. So that is osir. Because by doing that, the yid is showing that the goy worked for him, since he's telling him that I worked on a weekday because you worked on the Shabbos. So you really worked on Shabbos for my part, and because of that, I worked on another weekday for your part. So he's showing it really the goy was a shliach, and therefore this is osur. So from here we see that such a partnership is osur, and that's what Ravina asked Rav. How did you say that they're allowed to have this partnership? That the goy worked in that field on Shabbos, and the yid worked against it on a Sunday. When it says the Feirish in this Braise that the yid is not allowed to tell the goy, you work on Shabbos, and I work against it in the weekday. So he was embarrassed. But later on, they found out that this case, they had made this condition l'chatchila. That l'chatchila they made up that the goy would work on Shabbos and the yid would work on Sunday. And it says in the Braita that if they made a condition l'chatchila, then it's okay. Because l'chatchila there is no responsibility on the yid to work on Shabbos because they made up he wouldn't work on Shabbos. So when the goy worked on Shabbos, we do not consider it as if part of his work was done as a shliach to the yid. Then the Gemara says, Reb Gavia from Kosil said that the story we mentioned before was not as we said it before. The problem wasn't concerning Shabbos, but Hanush Asila Orlahabe. These were plants of Orle. We know that when you plant a tree, the first 3 years, the fruit is considered Orle, and that cannot be eaten, and is also Oser Ba'anoe. And what happened here was that they together accepted upon themselves the partnership of planting these trees. And the problem was concerning Orle. That what happened, the goy worked the first 3 years, and he took off the fruit for the first 3 years. The Yisrael, and the yid worked later on 3 years, which were allowed, and he took off the fruit from those 3 years, and he used the fruit. And also, the Kamadurava, they came to Rava, so Rava allowed it to them. Because in this case, there is no Iser whatsoever. Because they're allowed to do it. And even if the yid would tell the goy outright you work on it for the first 3 years and take the fruit, and I will work the other 3 years, it's still okay. Because even the Yid himself is allowed to work on the tree of Arle. The din by Arle is only that you're not allowed to eat the fruit of Arle, but you're allowed to work on the tree in the years of Arle. So even if he told the goy, you work on the field the first 3 years, and because of that, I will work on this tree the other 3 years, it's still okay. Even if the goy is considered a shliach of the Yid, it's okay because the Yid himself is allowed to work on the tree in the year of Arle. Aye, because the goy took off the fruit the first 3 years, because of that, the Yid will have the fruit of the other 3 years. So it comes out that the Yid is having hanoah from the fruit of Arle, because the reason he is getting all the fruit from the other 3 years is because the goy got all the fruit from the first 3 years of Arle. So the Chura, it seems that the Yid is having hanoah from the fruit of Arle. But the pshat is that since the goy worked during those 3 years, he gets the fruit. This is the way it's normally accepted, that when you work, you get the fruit of your work. So the goy who worked the first 3 years and he was allowed to work, so he deserves the fruit from the first 3 years. The Yid who worked the other 3 years deserves the fruit from those 3 years. So it's not considered that the Yid is having hanoah from the fruit of Arle. And that's why Rava said this was allowed. The Gemara asks, how can you say that this was the story? Didn't we learn that Ravine asked the kasha on Rava from that braise? Now, if it's the way you say the story was, then there is no kasha from there. Because in that braise, all we see is concerning Shabbat, since you are not allowed to work in the field on Shabbat. So if it is a case where the goy is as if he is your shliach, he is also not allowed to, and that is aser. And that was the kasha that they asked the Rava. But if it was a case of Arle, and in the case of Arle, there is no iser in working, so what kind of kasha did Ravina ask the Rava from the braise? And the Gemara answers, really, it wasn't the kasha that he asked him. Sayeho. All he did was, he brought him a raya from there. From there we see that if they made a conditional chatchile, then they are allowed to do it. So what does that show? That as long as there is no question of the Isra of a goy being a shliach to the Yid in the Malacha, they are allowed to do this, even though the Yid will have hanoah from the money of Shabbat. Because the reason the Yid got his Sunday, the money for Sunday, was because the goy had his money for Shabbat. And it's still allowed, because since they made lechatchila at night, so the Yid was never obligated to work on Shabbos, so the goy is not doing it as a shliach of the Yid. So we see from there that as long as there is no problem with the shlichus of the goy, so even though the Yid gets his money because the goy got his money for Shabbos, it's allowed. So that's the raya to the case of Arla also. That since there is no problem with shlichus in the case of Arla, because the Yid himself is allowed to work on the tree in Arla. The only question we had was, is he allowed to take the fruit of those 3 years because he takes it as an exchange for the fruit that the goy took the first 3 years? So that we have a raya from here. That just like here, the Yid is allowed to take the fruit for Sunday, even though it is an exchange for the fruit that the goy took for Shabbat, so too in the case of Arle, he's allowed to take the fruit from the second 3 years as an exchange for the fruit that the goy took in the first 3 years. But then the Gemara asks, but we know the end of the story was that after Ravine brought him the braise, Rove was embarrassed. Now according to him, that it wasn't a kasha he asked in the braise, but it was a raya he brought him from the braise, so why was Rav embarrassed? So he says, this never happened. That it never happened that Rav got embarrassed, it was just a raya to him, and that's how the end was. Then the Gemara says, there was a question asked, stam am I, what is the deen if it is stam? They don't make anything up. They both take together a partnership, and the goy works on Shabbos, the Yid works on Sunday. The Yid never told the goy to work on Shabbos. They never made anything up. And now when they come to divide the profit, are they allowed to divide the profit equally? And obviously the question is, when they divide the profit, he doesn't mention to him that you take this money because of Shabbos, and I'll take this money because I worked another day. He doesn't mention anything. They just divide the profit equally. Is that allowed or not? So the Gemara says, Toshma, come, I'll answer your question. In the braise that we brought before, it said, in his numitchila muter, and if they made a condition, lechatchila, that he is going to work on Shabbos, and the Yid is going to work on Sunday, then it is allowed. So it's mashmeh from there, that only if there was mamash a condition made for that, that's when they're allowed to divide it later equally. Hostomeh, but if it is no condition made. It was just stam, they were partners, and the goy worked on Shabbos, and the Yid worked on Sunday, but they didn't make that condition, so it's mashmeh that it's aser. But the Gemara says, no, it's no raya. Because Amos says, look at the end of the same braise, it says there, if they come to make a cheshbon, then it's osir. Which means, as we said before, if they come to make a cheshbon, and the Yid says to the goy, that you will take this money because you worked on Shabbos, and I will take the money because I worked on another day. So that is osir. is mashma hostam, but stam, if they don't put the cheshm that way, if just the goy worked on Shabbos and the yid worked on Sunday, and later when they come to divide it, they don't make a cheshm of the Shabbosim. They just divide it equally, mutter it would be mutter, because the Braita says just involve the cheshm the tzotzer. But if without the cheshm, just a regular division, it would be mutter. So from the sefer is mashma that stam is mutter. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Elo." Therefore, meho leki lemashmino. From this brayse, we can't prove anything, since from the reisha of the brayse is mashmed of the tosser, from the seifa of the brayse is mashmed of the smuter. So this brayse, you cannot be medayik at all, and we can't bring any raya from this brayse. Hadin aloch l'tnei edayim, hadin aloch l'tnei edayim, hadin aloch l'tnei edayim. Concerning this brayse, where it says that the yid should not tell the goy when they make a partnership that you work on Shabbos and take for Shabbos, and I will work another day in the week and I will take that profit. Suppose this brings a story that happened in the time of Rabbi Natan. There was this yid that collected an oven as payment for a debt that the goy owed him. And the condition that was made, that even though the oven belongs to the yid, nevertheless that goy still had some profit that was supposed to come to him from the oven. And they made up that certain days of the week the profit would go to the yid, and certain days of the week the profit would go to the goy. But they didn't make a condition l'chatchila saying that the goy will work on the Shabbos and he will get the profit from Shabbos, and the yid will work on another day in the weekdays and he will get the profit from the weekdays. So the Rish said that nevertheless it's mutter. And even though in our Gemara it says that if you did not make a condition l'chatchila it's asur, so the Rish wanted to say that that case is different than the case of our Gemara. Because in the case of the field, because the goy will work on Shabbos, the part of the yid in the weekdays will also be better. And therefore, it's considered that when the goy works in the field on Shabbos, he's also working for the yid, because the yid's part in the weekdays is going to be better. But in the case of the oven, that when the goy will work on this oven on Shabbos, it doesn't make the oven any better for the weekdays. So in a case like that, that is allowed, even if they did not make a conditional chatchila. That was the opinion of the Ri. But the Rabbi Natan did not agree to him. And the Rabbi Natan said that you cannot make a difference between the case of the oven and the case of the field. Because even if the oven does not become better through the work that is done on Shabbos, but still it is considered as if he is working for you. In other words, the reason why the field is osur is not because when he works on Shabbos it makes the part of the yid better, so the yid has hanoah from his work on Shabbos. It is because it's as if he is working for him. And then it makes no difference whether his work will help the part of the weekdays or not. So just like in the case of the field you're not allowed to do it, in the case of the oven you're also not allowed to do it. And the Rabbeinu Elchanan added even more. Yet in this case of the oven, it's even worse than the case of the field. And even if they would have made up the chatchila condition, it still wouldn't have helped. Because here, the oven was only the yid. So when the goy worked in this oven on Shabbos, it's as if the goy rented the oven from the yid. And the yid is telling to him that the work that you will be doing on Shabbos should go to you on condition that I will get the work from the weekdays. So then he really has hanoah from the goy's work on Shabbos. While in the case of the field, when they both took it b'shutve, so they're both equal. So then the goy also has a part in the field itself. But in the case of the oven, when it's only the yid, then it's even worse, because as if the goy is working for the yid. And the reason the yid is getting the profit in the weekdays of his is because he rented it to the goy for Shabbos. And therefore he also held with the tzotzer. And Tosfos says that the Ri later changed his mind, and he agreed that in this case it would be osur. And he even brought a raya to the Rabbi Natan that you cannot be mechalik between the case of the oven and the case of the field. Because it is self-understood that a merchatz would have the same din as the oven. And we learn in the Sefer Mesichtet Mai Perik Vov that a yid and a goy bought in partnership a field or a merchatz. So it says there, the yid should not say to the goy that you should do your part, etc. And then it comes, the bottom line there is that the klal is that whether it's a vineyard or it's a field or it's a merchat or it's an oven, if a yid and a goy bought it b'shutfes, so then you're not allowed to tell the goy, you take your part on Shabbos and I will take my part in the weekdays, unless they made a condition l'chatchila before they bought it that on Shabbos the yid has no part in it. And there we see that even in the case of an oven, the din is the same, that even though by working on Shabbos the oven doesn't become better in the weekdays, like the Ri wanted to say l'chatchila, nevertheless it says you're not allowed to do this unless you make a condition l'chatchila. And therefore, he changed his mind from the psak din that he gave. And the eitz that Rabbi Natan gave there to this person, what to do was, that he should get the money collected from the goy for the debt. Then he should lend it to him again. and then the guy should pay him with the oven, but before he gives it to him, they should make a conditional chatchila. And as we said here, if you make a conditional chatchila, then it's okay. And then Tosfos adds that this din is only in the case where it actually belongs to the yid, like the case here where he collected this oven as a payment for his debt. But what would be in a case where a yid took an oven, for instance, as a mashkin from a guy? So then Tosfos says, you do not have to make a condition at all, because after all, it still belongs to the guy. And the profit that the yid will get on a certain day is only the profit as interest from the loan that the guy owes him. And since the yid has no chelik, no part in the oven itself, so then you don't have to make this condition. Because when it says in the Braise that when they bought the object together, you have to make a condition of chatchila, it's only if they bought it, which means that the yid owns part of it. But if the yid doesn't own any part of it, then the din doesn't apply, and even if they didn't make a condition, he's allowed to take the profit from a weekday, because this is not considered that he is having anoa from the work of the goy on Shabbat. Concerning the question of the Gemara asked, Stomamai, what happens if they didn't make a condition of chatchila, but later on they didn't say anything either? They took the field together, and the goy worked on Shabbos, and the yid worked on another day. They never made that up. And when it comes to divide the profit, they also don't mention anything about Shabbos. Is it allowed or not? And the Gemara first wanted to prove from the Reish of the Braise, where it says, in hisnu mitchilat smuter, is a raya that stam is osir. Later they were medayik from the Sefer, where it says, in bo lechesh osir, is mashmo stam emuter, and the Gemara said there is no raya from here. So Tosfos asks, why did l'chatchila the Gemara want to bring a raya from the words? Im hisnu mitchila muter, why didn't they try to bring a raya from the first part of the Braise, which is even before that? In the first part of the Braise, it says that a yid should not say to the goy, you take your part on Shabbos and I take in the weekdays, is mashmeh, that if he says it, it's no good. But if it's tam, it's muter. So why do you have to be medayek from the other parts, which we call the reisha, the sefer? Why can't we be medayek from the reisha, the reisha? The first part, where it's mashmeh, that you cannot say it to him. But if you do not say it to him, then it's muter. And Tosfos answers that l'chatchila we could think that be'emes, even if you don't say it, it's still osir. Why does the Braise mention you shouldn't say it? To tell us that im hisnu, if you made a condition, it's smuter, even though you spoke about it, but as long as it was a condition done before you started, then it's allowed. That would be the chiddush. But the Braise did not mean to tell us that only if you said it, it's osir, but if you didn't say it, it's smuter. Even if you didn't say it, maybe it's also osir. But only if you made a condition before you started the smuter, so that's why it's no raya. The only raya the Gemara had was from the other part where it says im hisnu mitchila muter, from there we were medayik, but stoma is osir. Concerning the second part of the braise, where the Gemara was medayik the opposite, where it says if they came to a cheshbon it's osir, and the Gemara wanted them medayik, but if it's tam, then it's muter, so Tosfos asks, maybe there is no diyuk of that in the braise. Maybe what the braise meant to say was, im bo l'cheshbon it's osir, even if they made a condition of chatchila. And if they made a condition of chatchila, we said before, it's muter, but even that is only allowed if later on when they divide it, they don't mention anything about Shabbos. But if they make a cheshbon and he says to him, you take this for your Shabbos and I will take that for the other day, then it's osir, even if they made a condition. So if that is the pshat, then there is no diyuk. Hostome is muter, because could be stam is also osir. But the difference is, if it's tam, it's only osur if they didn't make a condition l'chatchila. But if they made a condition l'chatchila, then tam is muter. But if they come l'cheshbon, even if they made a condition l'chatchila, it's osur. And according to that, we have no raya from the sefer for summer. And Tosfos says, the Gemara holds that if they made a condition l'chatchila, it should be muter b'cholinyan. The Gemara didn't feel that it's possible to say that when it says in the braise, bo l'cheshbon osur, means that even if they made a condition, it should be osur. And therefore, the only diik we could have, that if they made a condition, it's osir, hostom is shari, and that was the Gemara's raya. And the end of the Gemara was that since there's a raya from the Reisha one way and the Sefer another way, we cannot use this braise as a proof at all. And now we will start the second Perek. The Mishnah says, Eima midin behema b'pindakoye shalev zekechovim, you're not allowed to put animals in the inns of the goyim, itnei shechshudim al horevia, because we suspect that they might do an immoral act with the behema. Also, a woman should not remain alone with goyim, because we suspect that they will do an immoral act with a woman. Also, a man should not even be alone with them, because we suspect them of murder. So if you're alone there, they might kill you. That's why the din is you're not allowed to have yichud with a goy. And the Gemara says, Vereminu, I will ask you a kasha. We learn in a braise, you're allowed to buy an animal by a goy for a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't suspect, not that the behemah was used to do an immoral act, and not that the behemah was used that an immoral act was done with it. Because if this would have happened, then the behemah would have been possible for a korban. So the Braisa says that we don't suspect that this was done, and therefore you could buy a behemah from a goy and use it for a korban. Also, beloy mishemukta, we don't suspect that this behemah was set aside for avodah zarah, because the din is that even if it was just set aside for avodah zarah, it is already possible for a korban. And as Tosfos explains, it doesn't mean just it was set aside that they just said that this will be used as a korban for avodah zarah. When is it usur if they set it aside to be makir for avodah zarah and they actually gave it already over to the priest and they already fed it the vegetables of avodah zarah? That's when it would be usur. And the Braisa here says that we don't suspect that this is what was done with the animal. And also, v'loy mishum neva, we don't suspect that this animal was worshipped as an avodah zarah. So the Gemara asks, bishloy memuktzav neva, mele, when it says we don't suspect that it was set aside for avodah zarah, or that it was actually worshipped as avodah zarah, because imi said akti, because if it would have been true that this was set aside for avodah zarah, or v'imi said apalchei, or if it would have been true that he had worshipped this animal, loy have a masbele, he wouldn't have sold it. Ela roi v'venir v'lochush, but the first part, that it was used for an immoral act, let's be afraid. Doesn't our Mishnah say that? In our Mishnah it says that you're not allowed to leave an animal with the goyim, because we're afraid that they're going to use it for an immoral act. And since this is a deen that you're not allowed to do, obviously we really suspect them in doing it, so how come in this case we don't suspect? Why is the deen that you are allowed to buy the animal from the goy and use it as a korban, and we don't suspect that it was used for immoral act, when in our Mishnah is mashmeh that we do suspect the goyim using it for an immoral act? The Gemara says, Omer Reb Tachlifa, Omer Reb Shila Bar Avina, Mishmei de Rav, Reb Tachlifa said in the name of Reb Shila Bar Avina, in the name of Rav, Eivet Yechovim, Chos Al Behemte, Shilai Tiyokir, and a goy would have regard for his cattle, and it shouldn't become an okor, it shouldn't become barren, because if an immoral act is done with a female animal, this female animal cannot give birth to any calves anymore. So a goy would not do it. And this is the difference between that braisa and our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, when it's not the goy's, it is our cattle that is going to stay with the goy, so the goy doesn't care. So therefore, we definitely suspect that he would do an immoral act with it. But in the case over there, where we're buying it from the goy, so this belonged to the goy, now a goy would not do it to his own animal, because this would spoil his own animal, it would make it barren. But then the Gemara asks, Hotinech Nekevis. This is understood. If it is a female animal, then he would not do it with his own animal because it would make it barren. Zechori Mayikil Meimer. But to buy a Zohar, a male animal from a goy, what is there? Why don't we suspect that the goy did an immoral act with the male animal? And there we cannot say that he's afraid to do it because it would become barren, because this is a male. Omer Rav Kana said, Hoyul Makhishin Bebosar. That since it weakens the flesh, and even though it doesn't do that much harm to the male animal, but some harm it does. Because if an immoral act was done with it, it becomes weak, so a goy would not do it with his own animal. While in our Mishnah, where it's not his own animal, there we suspect he would do it. When the Gemara before said that concerning Muktzah and Nevad, we do not have a kasha, because if it would be set aside for avodah zarah, or if it would have been worshipped, then the goy wouldn't have sold it. So Tosfos says, really the Gemara didn't have to say that. Because we know that bichlau, we don't find that we should suspect an animal was muktzav an avat. So it is not because he wouldn't have sold it. Because bichlau, there is no such chashash. There is no place that we try to prove that there is a chashash, that we have to give a reason why we don't suspect. Like atchila, we don't suspect such a thing. So why did the Gemara have to mention that the reason we don't suspect? Because if it would have happened, he wouldn't have sold it. So Taisa says, this is lerafcha de milsa. This is just an additional svara. Which means to say that even if it would be a place where people would constantly do that, and therefore there would be a reason to suspect that the goy did set it aside for avodah zarah, or did worship it. Nevertheless, if you buy it from him, then we don't suspect because we assume he didn't sell it. And that was the reason the Gemara brought that part also. And now we continue with the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Elo hodatanya, but if so, that you say that we do not suspect that a goy would do an immoral act with his own behemoth, whether it is a female or a male, because of the damage it will do to his behemoth. Hodetanya, we learn a braisa, loikin behemoth miroye shelahen. You're allowed to buy a behemoth from a shepherd of theirs, which means from a goyish shepherd. And the question is, loikish, let us be afraid. Dilma rovolo, maybe he did an immoral act with it, since he's only a shepherd, so the behemoths are not his. And as we said before, in the case where it's not his, we do suspect that he will do an immoral act. So why don't we suspect it in the case of the shepherd and the din is that you are allowed to buy a payment from them? And the Gemara answers, Roye Shalahem, their shepherd, means a goyish shepherd, Misyore. He is afraid to do an immoral act even if it's not his payment. Why? Mishum Hefzitzchar, because he's afraid that he is going to lose the payment he gets for being a shepherd. If they will catch him doing that, they won't pay him. And that's why he's afraid to do it. But then the Gemara asks, Elo, if so, how did Tanya we learn the Braise? Ein Moisrim Heime L'Roi Shalahen. We are not allowed to give our payment to their shepherd. A Yid is not allowed to give away his behemoth to a Goyish shepherd. And the reason is because we're afraid that the Goyish shepherd will do an immoral act with it. But the question is, let us say, that this Goyish shepherd will be afraid to do it because he will lose his payment, just like we said before. And the Gemara answers, Inhu the Yodeba Dodi, they, the Goyim that know each other, Mises, they're afraid. If you're going to buy a behemoth from a Goyish shepherd, the shepherd has the behemoth from other Goyim, so there we say that he is afraid to do the immoral act because the owner of the behemoth, which is another Goy, might find out, and that's why he's afraid. Why will he find out? Because the Goyim know each other, they know all about this, and therefore he's afraid. But Anan, we the Loyadina Bahu, we do know about these things. So therefore, if we will give over our behemoth to him, Loy Mirsa says he's not afraid. Since he knows that we don't know much about it, so he's not afraid he'll be caught and lose his payment, therefore we do suspect he'll do this immoral act, and that's why we are not allowed to give him our payment. Omar Rabba Rabba said, Hai nida omri inshe, this is what people say, Michta v'glola biza, ragla b'chavra yoda. Just like the writing penetrates the stone, so does one moser know about the other. Rigla means the person who goes around spreading Lashon Hara or Masering. It comes from the word Rogil, as Rashi says. So what he's saying is that people used to say that just like the stone knows its writing, so does one person who goes on speaking Lashon Hara know another. And the same thing here, that one Goy knows the other. So that's why the shepherd who is a Goy is afraid of the other Goyim to do the immoral act. But from a Yid is not afraid. Tosfos is not Goyres here, Rigle with a Reish, but Tosfos says that Rabbi Netam is Goyres with a Dalad Digler, and that means a liar. And what he's saying here is that one liar knows the other, and so too one Goy knows the other. Then the Gemara says, Ihoche, if so, Schorim in Ikevis, Loi Nisbin, to buy male animals from female Goyim, we shouldn't be allowed. The Chashinim, we should be afraid. Dilme Marbele Alei, maybe she will take that animal to do an immoral act to her. The whole reason we said, why are you allowed to buy the animal from a Goy, and we don't suspect that the Goy would have done an immoral act with it, because if it's a Mekeva, it'll make it barren. If it is a Zohar, then he's going to make it weak, because the act that the man will do to this behemoth will weaken the behemoth. But that doesn't apply if the behemoth is a Zohar, and the Goy is a female. Because there, it will not cause any of these things to the behemoth. But the question is, how come we don't find a din that you're not allowed to buy a behemoth, a male behemoth, from a female goy? And the Gemara answers, even the mikrobo mirsasa. Since if she will do that with the animal will constantly follow her. So she's afraid. She'll be afraid to do this because she knows that this will be found out later. Because people will see that animal constantly following her, they will understand why is the animal following her, because she did this moral act. So people will find out. That's why the chatchila, she will not do this immoral act. That's why the din is that you are allowed to buy a male animal, even from a female goyim. But then the Gemara says, Elo, if so, ho, the Torah of Rabbi Yosef, this is Rabbi Yosef learned. An almone widow should not raise a dog, and she should not have a student stay in her house. And the reason is because we're afraid that something bad will happen. She will do an immoral act over the dog or with that student that will stay in the house. And the question is, concerning the din of the student, we understand why she is not allowed to have as a guest a student, because the student will not follow her. She relies on the modesty of the student. And therefore, she has nothing to be afraid of. She might do the immoral act, and later no one will find out. The student will not follow her because the student himself will be ashamed. Elo kalbe, but considering the dog, why is the din that she's not allowed to raise a dog in the house? Kiven de migre bo mirsesen. Since if she would do an immoral act with the dog would constantly follow around, so she should be afraid of that. Just like we said before, that you're allowed to buy from a female goya, an animal zocher, because we're not afraid she'll do an immoral act, because if she would, that animal will follow her. The same thing should apply here too. that a almana should be allowed to raise a dog, and we shouldn't be afraid that she might do a moral act, because she definitely will be afraid to do it, because if she'll do it, the dog will constantly follow her around. And the Gemara answers, Kiv d'chishad yalei umfet. Since the fact is that if she would throw a piece of meat to the dog, umatzricha basro, he would also follow her around. Meimra amri inshus, the people will say, haide misricha basro, mishim umtze dekomasrich. And the reason the dog is following her because she gave him a piece of meat. In the case of another animal, there is no other reason why the animal should follow her around. Only because she did this immoral act to the animal. And therefore, she's afraid to do it because she knows the animal will follow her around and people will see that happen. They will understand that she did the immoral act. But in the case of the dog, there is another reason why the dog could follow her around. If she would have given him a piece of meat, he would follow her around. So therefore, she's not afraid to do this immoral act because even though this will cause the dog to follow her around, but nevertheless, she's not ashamed of that, because this will be no proof that she did the immoral act. People will say, the reason the dog follows her is because she gave the dog a piece of meat. Then the Gemara asks, we know that we're not allowed to leave an animal between goyim, because we're afraid the goyim will do an immoral act with the animal. And this din is also that you're not allowed to leave a female animal amongst female goyim. Now the question is, why not? It's a whole... In this case, they cannot do an immoral act with the animal. Said, because goyim come frequently to the wives of their friends to do an immoral act with a woman. Sometimes he will come there and will not find her. But he will find the behemoth that was put there. He will do an immoral act with the behemoth. And that is the reason you can't leave a female behemoth with female goyim, because this also could bring that a goy should do an immoral act with his behemoth if he will come there and not find the woman. Some say, not only if he will not find the woman, he will do the immoral act with the behemoth, even if he will find the woman, he will also do it. Because we know that chaviva aleihem behemtan shel Yisrael yoyisem in the sheseyim. Because by the goyim, it is more beloved the behemoths of Eden than their own wives. Because Rabbi Yechanan said, when the nochash, the snake, had relations with Chavo, he infused filth into her. And therefore the goy doesn't have the real pleasure with his wife. But if so, Yisrael name, so by Yid also. The Yidin are also descendants of Chavo, so the same filth should be by the Yidin also. And the Gemara answers, Yisrael shom dar ha-sinai poskos amosam. But the Eden, since they stood by Sinai, they received the Torah, this filth left them. But the Goyim didn't stand by Sinai, they didn't receive the Torah. Their filth didn't go away. And therefore, a Goy had more pleasure with a Jew than with their own wife. And even with the behemoth of a Jew, he has more pleasure than with his own wife. And therefore, we're afraid that he's going to do the immoral act with the behemoth of the Eden. And this that the Yidden stood by Harsinai, and that took away the filth from them, is not only concerning Yidden themselves, but also concerning Gerim. Because we know that even the Neshama, the Mazel of the Gerim, stood by Harsinai. And therefore, the Gemara here couldn't ask that this is only concerning a Yid that is a Yid from birth. What about a Ger who didn't stand by Harsinai? How come over there? We're also afraid that the Goy will do an immoral act with his payment, because even Gerim also stood by Harsinai, and therefore the filth is not there by them either, and the Goy has more pleasure in the payment even of a Ger than of his own wife. Then the Gemara says, there was a question asked, what is it in concerning birds? Are you allowed to leave birds amongst Goyim? Are we afraid that he will do an immoral act with the bird also or not? The Gemara says, Toshma, come here, I'll answer your question. The Omer of Yehuda Mar Shmuel, the Buddha said in the name of Shmuel, Mishum Reb Chanine, in the name of Reb Chanine, Ani Reisi Yavet Yechovim, I saw a goy, Shalokach Avach Min Hashuk, and he bought a goose in the market, Rova, he did with it an immoral act, Honcho, then he choked it, Vetzolo, he roasted it, Vochlo, and he ate it. Omer of Yemi Yemedifte, and Yemi Yemedifte said, Ani Reisi Arabi Echod, I saw one Arab, Shalokach Yerech Min Hashuk, and he bought a Yerech, which is a side meat from the street, from the market, the chokak bo kedei revio, and he carved out a hole in it for the sake of an immoral act. Rava, he did an immoral act with it. Tzola, he roasted it. Va'ochla, and he ate it. So we see that a goy is suspected of doing an immoral act with anything, and therefore you are not allowed to leave even birds amongst goyim because we're afraid that he will do an immoral act even with the bird. Now the pilot comes out from here that we are not allowed to leave our animals amongst goyim, as it says in the Mishnah, it also says in the Gemara that you cannot give a behemah to a goyish shepherd, and the reason is because we're afraid they are going to do an immoral act with the behemah. So Tosfos says, what is the reason that nowadays we don't care about this, and we do give over our behemahs to goyim, and we leave our behemahs amongst goyim? And Rabbi Natan says, because later on in the Gemara, there's another tera that the Gemara gives to answer the stira between our Mishnah and the Braise, where our Mishnah says that we are not allowed to leave the behemoths amongst goyim because we're afraid they're going to do an immoral act. And then the Braise says we are allowed to buy behemoths from goyim and use it for a korban, and we're not afraid that he used it for immoral act. So later on, there's a tera in the Gemara in the name of Rabbi Dos that there is a machloikis in this. That in the Mishnah where it says we are afraid that he's going to do the immoral act, that goes according to Rabbi Lozer. And the Braise, where it says that we are allowed to buy a behemoth from a goy and use it for a korban, and we don't suspect that he did the immoral act, that goes according to the Rabbanon that hold that we don't suspect a goy in doing this immoral act. Now, if we're going to say that pshat, then we understand why nowadays we're allowed to, because if the one that says you're not allowed is Rabbi Lozer, who argues against the Rabbanon, we pass like the Rabbanon. And even though not everybody accepts the teretz of Rabbi Dos, this is a machloikus between Rabbi Lozer and the Rabbanon, and one of those that don't accept the teretz of Rabbi Dos but says his own teretz is Ravine, and usually we paskin like Ravine, because Ravine was the end of Hayra, which means he was the end of the Gemara, and therefore we usually paskin like Ravine. But in this case, it seems like the teretz of Rabbi Dos is the Iker teretz. And Tosfos says why? Because first of all, the Gemara first quotes the teretz of Ravine, and then brings the teretz of Rabbi Dos. And really, Rabbi Dos should have come first, because Rabbi Dos lived much before Ravine. Because we know that Rabbi Dos was the son of Rabbi Lozer, and that Rabbi Lozer was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So that goes back many years before Ravine. So the question is, why did the Gemara bring first the Teretz of Ravine and then the Teretz of Rabbi Dos? So that is to show that the second Teretz, the end Teretz, that is the real Teretz that accepted. And therefore, in this case, even though Ravine doesn't accept Rabbi Dos' Teretz, nevertheless, we have to say that the Teretz of Rabbi Dos is the Iker Teretz. And according to that, it seems that there is a machloikis between Rabbi Lozer and the Chachamim, and according to the Chachamim, we are not afraid that he will do an immoral act, and that's how we paskin, and therefore we're allowed to do it. And also Tosha says that Bishel Sofrim Kaimelon Dahalecha Charameikul, when it comes to a Shaila, who we paskin like, and it's a question that Din Darabonon, we follow the one that is Meikul. And therefore here too, since there is a Shaila, a Sofik, whether the Halacha is that we are allowed or we're not allowed, so we paskin like the Meikul, and we say we are allowed. And even though this Mishnah here where it says Eima Midian Behemoth in the Kodesh El Akum is a Sta Mishnah, it doesn't mention the name, so in other words, even though we say that this Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Lozer, but since the Mishnah does not mention his name, it's a Sta Mishnah, we have a klal always that the Halacha is like Sta Mishnah, nevertheless in this case we don't pass him like that. And the reason is because later on we find a Machloikis, because in the Mishnah in Poro, as the Gemara brings later, we find a Machloikis. And the rule is that whenever we have a machloikis after Stam, first comes the Stam Mishnah, and then we find a Mishnah later with a machloikis in that, the halacha is like the machloikis. And Tosfos says even more, even if the order would be different, even if we would have first the machloikis and then the Stam, in this case we also would have no raya that we paskin like the Stam Mishnah, because we have a klal that in two mesichtes we don't have a seder. And since the machloikis is a mesichta poro, so we don't follow the order in the case of the two mesichtes. So even if we would have first the machloikis and then the stam, that usually the klal is that machloikis v'achakach stam, halochak is stam, but in this case it wouldn't say that because it is in two mesichtes. And therefore, the fact that this is a stam doesn't prove anything, because in another place, this is a machloikis. And therefore, here we're able to say that we don't paskin like the stam, but we paskin like the chachomim, that you are allowed to leave the behemah amongst goyim, because we do not suspect that the goyim will do an immoral act of the payment. Later on in the Gemara, where the Gemara asked the Stira from this Mishnah to the Braise, and in this Mishnah it says that you're not allowed to leave a behemah amongst goyim because we're afraid of the immoral act, and in the Braise it says that we are allowed to buy a behemah from goyim for a korban, and we do not suspect that the goy did an immoral act with the behemah and made it possible for the korban. So in that, Tosfos asked the Kasha, that why did the Gemara have to ask a Kasha, a Stira between the Braise and our Mishnah, when really the Gemara could have asked a Stira between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah? Because the Mishnah and Daf Yudalad Amud Bey says, "Mokem shenoagu limker behema dako lo evik yechavi moichin. Mokem shenoagu sheloi limker ein moichin." At a place where the custom was that you do not sell a small cattle to goyim, the din is you shouldn't. If it is a custom that you do, then you are allowed. So we see from there that there's only a minig that you are not allowed in certain places. But as an Isser, there is no Isser in it. Which shows that Mitar Hadin, we do not suspect that a goy will do an immoral act, and therefore there is no Isser. And in this Mishnah, it says that you are not allowed to have an animal of yours stand amongst goyim, because we are afraid of the immoral act. And the Gemara could have answered the same tereks to give. And over there, when we're selling it to a goy, so it's going to belong to the goy, we're not afraid that he's going to do an immoral act. As the Gemara says here, that the goy will not do it to his own behemoth. But in this Mishnah, where it's speaking about us putting our behemoths amongst the goyim, where it's not the goy's here, we are afraid of the goy doing an immoral act. So why doesn't the Gemara ask this question, rather than asking the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa? The truth is that this question was already asked earlier on that Mishnah. The Gemara there, right away on that Mishnah, asked this kasha. And from that Mishnah, we see that there is no Isser, just a Minig, and the Gemara quoted there our Mishnah, where it says, Eima midim behemoth put in the Koyi Shalakum. So we see that we do suspect that they will do an immoral act. And there, the Gemara gave two trutzen. The second teres was the teres the Gemara gives here, but the first teres the Gemara gave was the teres that Rav said. That Rav said that when it says in our Mishnah that we are not allowed to put our behemoth amongst Goyim, this is only in the case where the Minig is not to sell. In other words, the two Mishnahs go together. In a case where the meaning is not to sell because they suspect of the immoral act, in that place you're not allowed to leave the behemoth in the Goyisha in either. In the place where you are allowed to sell, which means in the place where we do not suspect that the Goy will do an immoral act, in that place you're allowed to leave the behemoth amongst the Goyim also. And this din of Eima Midin that we have in our Mishnah would not apply there. And the Gemara says later on that Rav had charote from this teret, but the Chatchila, the Gemara gave that teret. So Tosfos asks, why didn't the Gemara give that teret here too? Because that teret that Rav said there to answer the stira between the two Mishnahs is also a good teret to answer the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Because we could say that when it says in the Braisa that you are allowed to buy a behemoth from a goy for a korban, and we do not suspect that he did an immoral act with it, we could say this is only in the place where the meaning is that we are allowed to sell them behemoth dako. That is only in the place where the meaning is that we are allowed to leave behemoths amongst them. But in a place where we are not allowed to leave behemoths amongst them, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about when it says, Ein ma'midim, the behemoths they put the koyah shalakum, in that place we are not allowed to buy from them a behemoth for a korban either. So the Gemara could have given that teretz also. So why didn't it? And Tosfos answers that the reason the Gemara didn't ask the stira here between this Mishnah and that Mishnah is for that simple reason, because the Gemara had already asked that stira. And the Gemara had already answered this teretz. And that's why the Gemara didn't want to ask that. But what the Gemara did ask was that we have another stira between this Mishnah and a Braisa, and that the Gemara didn't ask yet. And concerning this, the Gemara answers that the same teret that we gave there, concerning the stira of the two Mishnayis, we also are able to give concerning the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. But the question still remains, why didn't the Gemara here also answer the teret that Rav gave over there, that this itself depends on the Mokum Shenoz? So Tosfos says the reason the Gemara did not want to give this answer, because according to this teret, what would come out? That in a place where the meaning is that you're not allowed to sell behemoth daka to a goy, you're not allowed to buy from them a behemoth for a korban either. Why? Because we do suspect that they did an immoral act with it. But if so, there will be many kashas from different psukim. Because later on we find in the Gemara brings many psukim where it comes out that you are allowed to buy a behemoth from a goy for a korban. So l'chaura, if there is a place where we are not allowed to buy a behemoth from a goy for a korban, what will we do with all those psukim? The only answer we will be able to give is that those psukim are talking in a case where the meaning is that you are allowed to sell them behemoth daka, which means that the psukim are talking in a case where these people were not choshed on doing an immoral act. But that can be, because if you look at the psukim, all these psukim talk about Mitzrayim and about Knan and about Plishtim, and we know for sure that these people were definitely suspected of doing an immoral act. And then there's another pasuk that speaks about Kol Tzein Kedar, which is concerning the Arviim. They are also definitely suspected for doing an immoral act. As we see in our Gemara here itself later on, where it says that there was this one Aravi that bought the Yerech Min Hashuk and he made a hole in it, and he did the immoral act and then he ate it. So we see even to this degree the Aravi goes. So certainly the Arviim are suspected of immoral act. So what will we say concerning those psukim? How will we answer those psukim where it says that you are allowed to buy behemoths from a goy for a korban? If we will learn that there is a possibility of a place where you're not allowed to do it. So we'll have to say that these are talking only in a place where we don't suspect the goyim of immoral act, and this can be. Plus, Taisa says, it is hard to say that psukim are talking in a place where they are suspected. The psukim don't make a difference between one place and the other. If you learn the psukim, it seems as it is the psukim are telling us that you're allowed. It is hard to say that the psukim are talking only in a mokim shenoagu, that we do suspect that they would do the immoral act. And therefore, the Gemara here does not want to answer the teres the Gemara gives there, because here the teres will apply concerning the din that it says in the Braise, that you're allowed to buy a payment for a korban, and if we would answer that teres, we would have all these hardships of the psukim that we mentioned before. And then Tosfos even adds that it's possible that this is the reason why Rav had charote change his mind from this teres, because in the Gemara over there it doesn't say why Rav changed his mind. But this could be the reason, Tosfos says, because according to Rav's teres, we would have to answer that same teres here too. Now this teres, to answer here, we cannot because of the psukim. So when Rav saw that he couldn't answer the teretz concerning the braise, he realized that the teretz is not a teretz, and that's why he had charote, and he accepted the other teretz. But then Tosfos says that we could give another reason. At Be'emes, our Gemara here, before the Gemara even asked the contradiction between the Mishnah and the braise, the Gemara knew that we could make a chilik, that a goy will not do it with his own behemoth. And that's why the Gemara did not ask the question from the other Mishnah, the contradiction between the two Mishnahs, because the Gemara knew of the Teretz, that their Mishnah over there is talking about a payment that will belong to the Goy, while the Mishnah here is talking about a payment that doesn't belong to the Goy. And nevertheless, the Gemara asked the question from the Braise, because the Gemara thought that since in our Braise, we're talking about buying a payment from a goy. In other words, the goy is ready to sell the payment. So we thought, if he's ready to sell it, then it's as if it's not his, and he would do the immoral act. The whole reason why he doesn't want to do the immoral act is because he doesn't want to ruin the payment, but that's only if he plans to keep the payment. But in the case where he's selling the payment, so we would think maybe here he doesn't mind, and it should have the same din as if it's not his payment. And therefore, the Gemara asks the contradiction between the Mishnah, where it says that if it's not his payment, we do suspect of the immoral act. And in the Braise, where it's also as if it's not his payment, we don't suspect of the immoral act. That's why the Gemara asks the Kasha, and the Gemara said it was, that nevertheless, even though he wants to sell it, as long as he didn't sell it, he would not do it. Because he is not sure he will get a customer, and maybe he will change his mind and not sell it, so he will not take a chance, and it's still considered his, and he will not do the immoral act for the payment. Then Tosfos asks, after all, the Mishnah did say before that in certain places we do not sell a payment to a goy because we're afraid that he will do an immoral act even if the payment is his. So how could be the din that you're allowed to buy a payment for a korban from a goy all over? As we said before, this applies to all places, as it is the raya from the psukim. But after all, there are places where we do suspect the goyim of immoral act. As we see from the din that you're not in certain places, you are not allowed to sell a goy of heimadako. So obviously there are places where we do suspect them of immoral act. So how could the din be that all over you're allowed to buy a heimah from a goy, even from those places where you are not allowed to sell him a heimadako? Which means even in the place where we do suspect that he will do an immoral act with a payment that is his, nevertheless you're allowed to buy the payment from a korban. But the question is why? And Tosfos answers that in those places where the meaning is not to sell him, it is still only a meaning but not an iser. In other words, it is not because in that place, al pi halacha, we have to suspect he will do the immoral act. There is more chance that it will happen, and still al pi halacha, it is not enough for us to assert it, but nevertheless, there is a meaning that we are afraid of that. So concerning selling, this meaning is strong enough. But concerning a korban, this meaning doesn't even apply, even as a meaning. Because if we would have the meaning not to buy from them a payment for a korban, then ain't no davar sof, then there is no end to it. Because it is impossible that it shouldn't get mixed up, and if you bought a payment for a korban in a place where the custom is that you do not sell them behemoths, with a payment that was bought in those places where we do not suspect them of the immoral act. Because since business is done with payments, so it goes from one place to the other, so we're never sure that this payment was not bought in that place. And even though the majority of payments would have been bought in a place where we do not suspect that they did the immoral act, and then we should say we should follow the majority, because the dinis, we always go basarov, we follow the majority, and that is the reason we are not afraid that this behemoth came from there. But this doesn't help, because the rule is kol kavua kamach v'machzadomin, and only if it's Polish, only if you have a majority, and then one moved away from the majority, that's when we say it probably came from the majority. But if it is kavua, it is a set place, so then we say even if there's a majority of heter, it is as if it is 50-50, and it is a real suffix, and it should be osir. So therefore, if we would accept the minig concerning the korban, and we would say that according to the minig, we should not take a korban from a place where there is a suspicion that maybe the goy did the immoral act, then we cannot buy a korban from any goy, from anywhere, because we're always afraid maybe it came from there, and it is kavua machta machta, so there is ein l'darvus tov, there is no end. I, let's say, the din should be that we should only be able to buy behemoths that were born in the house of a Jew for a korban, because there is not enough, because there are so many mumin that occur in behemoths, and it is not enough to buy behemoths only from the homes of Jews. Therefore, we will have to buy from goyim. And if we buy from goyim, there is always a suffix, a complete suffix, because kavua machta machta, that maybe it came from that place. So then we wouldn't be able to buy any behemoth from a goy. So then we won't be able to buy behemoths for a korban. So therefore, concerning korban, this minig was not accepted, and therefore, all over, we are allowed to buy behemoths for a korban from goyim.